app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There's new violence today in the fight between Israel and Iran, with top European diplomats as well as Iran's foreign minister meeting at a UN human rights forum in Geneva. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer is there.
In the best possible world, you know, they'll come up with a deal here and then Israel will have a look at it.
Other nations rushing to get citizens out of Israel, including the U.S. This man's just arrived at the airport in Tampa.
I think as we started going to shelters more often, it started to sink in a little bit more, but how serious this particular conflict was.
Scorching temperatures are ushering in the new season from the middle of the country on east. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano is north of New York City.
Summer arrives tonight at 10:42 Eastern time, and right on cue, Mother Nature is cooperating with a heat wave building the hottest air of the year into the Midwest and eventually really the eastern two-thirds of the country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly voted unanimously to increase penalties for people found guilty of sextortion on Wednesday, named Braden's Law in memory of a Wisconsin teen who took his own life as a result of a sextortion scheme. The law would allow sextortion perpetrators to be charged with felony murder if their victim commits suicide. The charges that would most accurately apply to the crime currently include a maximum sentencing of only 3.5 years. The legislation is now with the state Senate and appears likely to advance to Governor Tony Evers. The Wisconsin State Senate approved a bill on Wednesday that would create new felony charges for rioters and make it easier for residents and businesses to file a lawsuit for property damage. Republican lawmakers claim there's been an increase in violent riots since 2020 and say there needs to be stronger penalties for rioters. Democratic lawmakers raised concerns about First Amendment violations and warned that the language of the bill could mean any person in a protest group could face charges if just one of them causes property damage or injuries. Polk County residents will soon start seeing anti-tobacco posters around the area thanks to a student contest organized by the Polk County Health Department and Western Wisconsin Tobacco Free Alliance. County officials say local students submitted 21 posters for the contest, and 6 of those posters will be displayed throughout the area over the next few months. The contest was open to middle school students from Barron, Burnett, Pepin, Pierce, Polk, Rusk, and St. Croix counties. The posters direct residents to the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. The Rusk County Sheriff's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Justice have announced the arrest of a man accused of scamming an elderly resident. According to Sheriff Philip Grossman, a sting operation led to the arrest of Mitesh Kumar Chaudhary on Tuesday. Sheriff Grossman says Chaudhary is also suspected of being in the United States unlawfully, and his office has been in contact with immigration authorities. He's reminding older residents to be wary of common scam practices like threatening phone calls or demands for financial information. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers face the Twins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and the Twins at Target Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, on the mound for Milwaukee against the Twins' Joe Ryan. The Brewers with a win over the first-place Cubs yesterday, 8-7. The wind blowing out at Wrigley. Home runs by Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, Isaac Collins. Pat Murphy was pleased.
Our guys, you know, they got out to a good lead. Swing the bats great today with authority. A lot of hard contacts and great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team.
Boys high school baseball, Muskegon with a 5-4 victory over Badger to win the Division I title in the WIAA state tournament at Fox City Stadium. New Berlin Eisenhower 5-4 over Seymour in Division II. Kenosha St. Joe's got past Kewaunee 3-2 in Division III. And Division IV won by Johnson Creek with a 5-0 shutout over Pinelli. NBA Finals Game 7 in Oklahoma City coming up Sunday night. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night 108-91. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Showers and a few thunderstorms around early, otherwise a mix of clouds and sun and warm with a high of 83. For tonight, partly cloudy, warm and muggy, a low of 74. Hot and humid this weekend, highs in the mid-90s. Heat index values above 100. Currently, it's 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, State Representative Francesca Hong on Republicans playing games with the state budget, plus Kristen Lierley, John and Gordy, and much more.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're in the midst of our Free Ticket Fridays. The word until 11 o'clock. You want to text in via the Civic Media app is Brew, B-R-E-W. You can't do that. Brew is the word.
B-R-E-W.
Text in the word Brew until 11 o'clock, and you're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets. You got five chances to win. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, will have a new word. Todd Alba, the same, from 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock is Brew, B-R-E-W. Enter, and good luck, just like Caesar and Madison and John and Oshkosh and Paul and Wisconsin Rapids. I love it.
But not Dan in Milwaukee.
Not Dan in Milwaukee.
He can't text in and win in the contest.
No. Oh.
Correct. And if you do win the tickets and you go, take pictures, text them in. We want to see people having a good time at
absolutely.
These games.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. The word is Brew, B-R-E-W. It's Friday, so the man who cannot enter the contest, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, is here in studio. Lots of things to talk about. We're going to get to your comments on Summerfest. We'll do that in our audio sorbet segment. That's after the 10:30 news, where we try and lighten things up a little bit and take a breath and get away from the news. Sure. And that too.
It's a funny audio sorbet.
I love those hotkeys. Absolutely. So join us for audio sorbet after the 10:30 news. And we're going to wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the I'll Be Checking Out Early edition. You want to stick around for this one. Let's start, though, with, the Republicans just walked away. We can't do anything. We can't get everything we want. We don't want to compromise, so we're just going to leave.
Yeah, the state budget, here we are on June 20th. The budget is due June 30th.
Almost there.
We do not have a state budget to be voted on. It's been a little bit of a discombobulating week in Madison as Republicans try to figure out what kind of budget they're going to pass, if they're going to hold sessions to craft the budget. You know, this week, Todd Alba has been all over the news of what's happening at the UW system.
He broke it.
He broke the story on Monday night. Yep. And, you know, Robin Voss confirmed it, I believe, in a press conference Wednesday that the Republicans are proposing an $87 million cut to the UW system. I know it's called the Universities of Wisconsin now. I'm going to keep calling it the UW system.
I'm with you.
I still call it Miller Park. I'm still, you know, I'm stuck in the old ways.
Okay,
but
Grandpa.
That's besides the point. They haven't seemed to figure out how to. They haven't gone through the process of doing this. So, like, after Todd broke the story on Monday, they delayed the vote on the UW system vote that was planned for Tuesday. They delayed that to yesterday, Thursday, and they canceled that session about 15 minutes before it was scheduled
to
start.
Yeah, we were just talking to Corrine Hendrickson about that.
Yeah, she was there, right? She was there.
She shut down her business to be there.
Insane. Yeah. And so, you know, and when these things get scheduled, people come from all over the state to be there to advocate for various positions and whatnot, just like Corrine and the folks who are involved with advocating for childcare. Childcare was on the agenda, as was the UW system, kind of the two of the top items that have been particularly contentious throughout this process. Those are two of the three things that Tony Evers said, you know, he needed from the Republicans in this deal in order to, you know, meet their ask on a tax break of some kind. He outlined three things: K-12 education, UW system, and childcare. Two of those were going to be up yesterday. That got canceled at the last minute. So it is it introducing kind of this strange dynamic in Madison that we just don't really have anything there to vote on.
I go back to two out of the three things that were the top things that the Joint Finance Committee heard about when they traveled around the state four times.
Absolutely.
These were the biggest issues to Wisconsinites, and these are the main issues that Republicans continue to ignore and walk away from.
I think
they stick their la 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 la. We took comments for 9 hours. I didn't hear anything. I was playing Candy Crush.
Well, and that's the thing too, is we mentioned earlier before, is the fact that, you know, while it is disappointing and unprofessional and unstatesmanlike to cancel a meeting 15 minutes before it's to go on when you have all these individuals there, we shouldn't be surprised by a group who has the JFC and they go around listening, quote unquote, the air quotes are doing some heavy lifting in that one, and do nothing about it. But also, this also dispels the myth they've been trying to portray of, well, Governor Evers just won't talk to us. That's junk. Mm-hmm. That's junk. He is compromising on things that I wish he wouldn't I don't want a tax break. That's not what we need here. But he's doing what a politician needs to do. And they're like, not good enough. No, we're gonna gut the UW system even more.
Well, and I think that introduces this potential issue for Evers where, you know, so basically what happens if they don't pass a budget by the 30th? Everything goes back to all of the funding levels set by the previous budget. Mm-hmm. So the budget that was passed 2 years ago, it would just continue on in the funding levels that are there. So if Republicans pass a budget that has an $87 million cut, not just a cut to Evers' proposal, which was to add hundreds of millions of dollars to the UW system, but cut to existing levels, I think it would be incumbent on Evers to probably veto the entire budget and do what he has not done as in, you know, this is now his fourth budget cycle in his second term as governor. Each of these cycles, he has eventually signed a Republican budget and then used the veto governor's powerful line item veto powers to make various changes to certain things. I don't know if that's what he should do, because like if he can't line item out an $87 million cut. That cut is there if the budget passes.
Right.
So I think he has to actually consider doing what he has not done yet and vetoing the entire budget if it is passed with cuts like this, if it doesn't include any new money for childcare, any like Medicaid expansion, things like that. I think Evers needs to start getting out there in the public saying, these are the priorities that I've advanced. This is what we've talked about. This is the middle ground that we're ready to meet on. I'm going to veto the entire budget if it includes a major cut to the UW system, or if it doesn't include like Medicaid expansion or like certain types of things. I think he has an opportunity to do that right now.
If you're just joining us, we have Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer here. He's also the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationary, and we're talking about the Wisconsin budget being at a standstill right now, frustratingly. And one of the things I want to go back to is what we just spoke with Corrine about, which was that poll they did, and they talked to, I think, 2,600 people, and a vast majority of them do not utilize childcare, but 80% of them said that we need a fix. So to me, what you're saying, Dan, is if he vetoes that budget, and the next thing he needs to do is put out a press conference and say, we agree on this. We've seen the numbers. We agree on a lot of things, actually, but this one we agree with. And I have to take care of Wisconsinites, and I know some of you won't like this, but I need to veto this budget because we need to go back to the beginning and try this again because people are struggling, and I made a commitment to the people as well as children. And I feel like vetoing the budget is a powerful statement, whether it's – honestly, whether it's for reelection or not. Because he doesn't run, it's his, probably one of his last big moves. If he decides to run, he needs to run on this because people aren't going to understand. And he needs to make them understand what an important move this is.
Well, and I was at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention last weekend in Wisconsin Dells. We talked about that on the show earlier this week. But one of the things that was kind of floating around there was that Citizen Action of Wisconsin and a number of groups and kind of a coalition that they have put together had these stickers on that said, veto the budget if it doesn't include K-12 education funding. Veto the budget if it doesn't include, Medicaid expansion. Veto the budget if it doesn't have childcare. So there is this push from a bunch of progressive groups on the left that would be part of the Democratic Party's larger coalition that were at the convention urging Tony Evers to veto this budget, and that was before the news on Monday of the proposed UW cut as well. So I think there is, and I was on the Citizen Action of Wisconsin podcast this week. We were talking about that. I think there are a number of progressive groups across Wisconsin that are going to be vocally urging Evers to veto the budget if depending on what is ultimately passed here. And I think it goes into, you know, what you alluded to with the questions over Evers' reelection and whatever else, like this is a tough spot right now for the governor in a lot of ways.
It is. But we've heard so much that Democrats want to see more Democratic leaders taking a stand. And I think if he would do this, and as you said, Greg, I think it's important to do follow up so people understand why he took this stand. But if he takes a hard stand on this, that might work in his favor.
And I also think that there's a lot of eyes on Wisconsin right now, both from the fact that we are a swing state, the fact that we are purple-ish, and this spring election. If the governor of Wisconsin stands up to the Republican majority and says, no, you're done, we're trying this again, that's a powerful statement that can also reinvigorate some of those Democrats around the country who are like, we're kind of weak right now. We need help. You have a guy like Tony Evers. He's not he doesn't look like J.B. Pritzker. Thank you. He doesn't look like him. He doesn't look like Andrew Cuomo. He doesn't look like one of these big guys. He's a man of his stature, and he's a quiet gentleman. And if he comes up and says no, that sends ripples throughout the country and is a story and could maybe give other governors and other lawmakers some confidence to do the same.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Evers to veto the budget entirely. And then what would that mean? Would Republicans just walk away and just try not to pass a budget and be like, well, we're fine with previous funding levels.
Yep. Why not?
And then we're just not going to pass a budget.
Yeah.
The less work they have to do, in my opinion, and what we're seeing here, the better for them.
They've already worked way past their expiration date. I mean, good heavens, shouldn't they be on vacation by now?
Yeah.
They must be exhausted. It's been four whole, wow.
Yeah.
It's been like four months.
Let me ask you this, though. Greg, you mentioned the study, the childcare study, and like the kind of the survey on that. Well, this has kind of been a tactic that Everson has deployed in various times, calling special sessions, like special session on the gun violence prevention measures, and saying like, hey, Marquette pulled this and it's like 80% support. You know, this has happened in a number of different times. The abortion measures that he brought up as well. Well, it hasn't actually worked, though, in the end of the day. Like, it's been a good rhetorical argument for it, and one I agree with, and saying like, hey, if this is an 80-20 issue in Wisconsin, we should at least have the conversation. We should have a special session. We should talk about these things. That hasn't moved Robin Voss, though.
Well, and I'm not actually even worried about moving Robin Voss. What I'm saying is that if he does this, he's appealing to the voters themselves who are saying these are important issues to us. And then what will happen is the voters might move Robin Voss out because they might get. I don't know. This is all speculation, but I'm speaking less about him talking to the Republicans and more talking to the people who agree on this, as well as many issues that Robin Voss and his cohorts are like, no, we're not doing this.
Right.
So it's about appealing to the people, but in a way that's effective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's appealing to the people is ultimately what matters here. But in order to get something done.
Yeah.
We got to find some sort of compromise. And after the break, I think we should talk a little bit about what's going on, the differences between the Assembly and the Senate.
Absolutely.
In this conversation, too.
Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. You can always join us. And by the way, you can always call your lawmaker if you want to know how to get a hold of a myvote.wi.gov. Ask him why they hate children. I'm just curious. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
So squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our Free Ticket Friday. You have until 11 o'clock to text in via the Civic Media app. Only the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, in the running for a four-pack of Brewers tickets, club-level seats, really good seats. Your next word will come up after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show, and then from 2 to 4 with Todd Alba, and a different word with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays. The word right now until 11 o'clock to text in is BREW, B-R-E-W. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, talking about the budget. It's kind of in limbo right now.
Budget impasse right now, that's for sure. Yeah. And it's interesting, as I was following the kind of statements that would came out after the Joint Finance Committee session was canceled yesterday. There are different statements coming out from the Assembly and from the Senate Republicans.
Do they not talk to each other at all?
Well, I think this is an interesting piece of this. So I'm going to read a quote from the statement released by Robin Voss and Assembly Finance Co-Chair Mark Bourne. So part of this, if in the statement they talked about that, we negotiated in good faith with Governor Evers. Assembly Republicans will not pass a budget that doesn't have a guarantee from Governor Evers of tax relief in it. But at the end of the statement, it says, quote, "This is the most conservative and most responsible option. This budget is on a trajectory to have more conservative growth rate than the budget that was passed by the Assembly and Senate 2 years ago. We hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting for these reforms and complete the budget on time." Really putting Senate Republicans in the spotlight here as the problem. And I think Governor Evers' spokesperson said something similar. I think Senate Republicans need to figure out how to count to 17 because they need 17 votes. They have 18 Republican state senators. Two of them have said that they don't want to pass this budget. So I'm not great at math, but that does not get them to 17. So I think that is why we are at this moment here where Mark Bourne and Robin Voss are saying, we hope Senate Republicans will come back to the table to finish fighting
get
for these reforms.
Get it together,
and complete the
kids.
Budget on time. Get it together, Senate
come
Republicans.
Come on, kids.
Devin Lemahieu and and the rest of the crew there.
Do you think that the Senate and the Senate Democrats were like, did they forget to mention us in there? Why are they talking to – this seems real – catty.
Well, State Senator Chris Kapinga put out a statement earlier this week that he would prefer to not pass a budget and just go back to the previous levels. State Senator Steve Nass, is it Nass or Nass? I'm actually not sure.
I thought it was Kapinga and not.
I said Kapinga.
Yeah.
Kapinga, Kapinga, Nass, Nass.
Chris K, whatever.
All right. Forgive me for my pronunciation here, but all that aside, those are two senators who have said that Republican state senators that said that they are not going to pass vote for the Republican budget that's being crafted right now. So do they need Democratic votes in the state Senate to get it done? Do they need to go back to the drawing board, or are they going to just not get something done?
I think they need to go back to the drawing board, but I think Chris Kapinga's response as far as let's go back to previous levels proves the point that we and Jane and I made to your question, which they'll be happy to do no work. If it's like, oh, we won't be shut down. We'll still have money, blah, 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 all those things. Well, then why don't we just did that? The last one was good. It's fine. Listen, I got things to do. I have a vacation to be on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that I feel like where Chris Kapinga is going is more going to be the, well, we couldn't get anything done, folks, but this budget 2 years ago was fine.
But then they have to go back to their voters come election time and say, hey, we didn't pass a budget. We didn't pass a tax cut.
But but can't they spin that and say, look at the money we saved you by not voting for a new budget. Mm-hmm. See what we did for you. We protected you.
And to put a little GOP spice on it, they can say we didn't bow to Democrats and their tax and spending. They'll make it like the Republican Assembly is looking at the Republican Senate right now. But at the end of the day, if nothing happens, they are just going to blame Democrats.
Oh, that's a given.
And especially Tony Evers.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much a given.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
But I think a lot of this goes back to they're still really hurt that Scott Walker lost. And they're really, really, this is just my opinion, I think they're really, really irritated that they didn't use the veto pen like Tony Evers did. Mm-hmm. I think they're really jealous about that. Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, they it's been 6.5 years. They're
time to get over
maybe
it.
Maybe it's time to get over it already and accept the realities of divided government. Maybe
she broke up with you. Sorry.
They're just not that into you anymore.
Yeah, I think, Senate Democrats have an interesting role to play here, too, because I think, some of the folks in the budget writing committee, like Kel DeRoy's or some of the other folks in the caucus, LaTanya Johnson has mentioned that they might need Democratic votes to pass a budget in the Senate. I think there are a number of people that we should also keep an eye on in this process and say if there are a couple Democrats say, hey, I would vote for your tax cut if you expand Medicaid, if you fund UW.
It's called compromise.
Yes, exactly. So I think there is a role to be played by some of those folks in this process as well.
And it says a lot. It says a lot that they're immediately pointing the finger at Senate Republicans instead of saying we're going to try to work with everybody. I know they would never do that or say that on paper, but it says a lot that they're just keep on looking at the Republicans saying, dudes, do something, instead of looking at those Senate Democrats saying, all right, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
Let's get into a room, nobody around for now, and we'll talk and then we'll go on a stage, we'll hold hands, and you can campaign on that. Mm-hmm. You got something done.
Mm-hmm. We have, and then the tax cut. They can do the one thing that they all, the only thing that they ever want to do is give a tax cut to the top tax bracket.
The answer to everything.
Right.
Rich people need more money. Mm. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With extreme heat in the forecast across the state over the weekend, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation is warning residents to be on the lookout for pavement buckling. When weather conditions go from cool to extremely hot quickly, the slabs of pavement in the road could begin to expand and push against each other. If the pressure gets high enough, the pavement can buckle and create an unexpected bump or dip in the road. Residents should remember to buckle up, keep their eyes on the road, and watch for slowing traffic and roadside workers. A Republican state lawmaker is sponsoring a constitutional amendment to introduce term limits on elected state positions. State Representative Duke Tucker of Grantsburg says the constitutional amendment would limit elected officials to serving 8 years in a single position. That would mean term limits of 2 years for a four-year position like governor or state senator, and 4 years for state representatives who only serve two-year terms. The constitutional amendment would need to pass in consecutive legislative sessions before appearing on a ballot referendum. The Dunn County Board of Supervisors has selected Dan Dunbar to be the new county manager. Dunbar currently works as the assistant county manager and will begin transitioning into the new role on July 7th with outgoing county manager Chris Corpola. He will fully take over the position on August 8th. According to a press release, Dunbar has served in the public sector for over 20 years and played key roles in countywide budget planning and developing investment strategies. He has served as assistant county manager since March of last year. Eau Claire health officials say the harm reduction vending machine placed in the Eau Claire County Jail 2 years ago has already dispensed over 3,700 doses of Narcan and nearly 1,000 fentanyl test strips. The vending machines have become increasingly common in the region over recent years, and health officials from various municipalities say they've had a significant impact on their efforts to reduce opioid overdoses. The vending machine at the Eau Claire County Jail is available 24/7 and also includes drug deactivation bags for unwanted medications. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. More big returns are expected at the box office this weekend, and there's a little something for everyone. If you're looking for something in a nice post-apocalyptic shade, check out the latest from the 28 Days franchise called 28 Years Later. The film is highly anticipated as original director Danny Boyle is back at the helm. Pixar's new film Elio also opens this weekend. It's the story about a space fanatic who tries to make connections with alien life forms to overcome an intergalactic crisis. That sounds even ambitious for a movie character. Elio is a nice family film rated PG, and for what it's worth, PG movies are crushing this summer. Elio is pulling in a very respectable 86% on the tomato meter. And finally, if you're in the mood for what appears to be a terrible movie, check out Bride Hard, starring Rebel Wilson and Anna Camp. Just about 10 reviews in, and Bride Hard is pulling low 20 percentile. Mercenaries take a wedding party hostage, not knowing the maid of honor is a secret agent. I see where this is headed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Happy first day of summer. With mixed skies, highs will soar to the low 80s. Also got chances for showers later this evening and storms overnight, which could be severe, packing the risks of hail and high winds. It'll be gone by the morning with an extreme heat warning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. I'm having little brain lapses already.
You're discombobulated. That's why I'm here, Jane.
Recombobulated. Exactly. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. And it is time for a little audio sorbet where we take a breath, get away from the news, lighten things up just a little bit. We've taken some criticism for this, but I think it's important that we all, in the midst of everything.
Those critics are wrong. Still, I love audio sorbet. I love
you.
The name. I love the vibe of it. Everything's
just
great.
Just for it to have a couple laughs, I think it's important.
Absolutely.
I spoke to one of our colleagues. I'll make him nameless just because he told me that this is one of his favorite parts of the show because we're talking about news. We're talking about heavy stuff. But then we're taking a moment and we're also entertaining. It's not just like today in Mongolia.
We're all going to die.
We're providing fun. But then this portion of the show takes a breath. Because as you put it, Jane, if we had to talk about this 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, nothing but like world-breaking news, it would be just miserable.
I'll have to throw myself off the tower in the back of the building, and I don't want to do that.
I would rather you not as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, yes, audio sorbet, where we take a little breath. You wrote a column about Summerfest. You're just getting in trouble all over the place lately, Dan Schaefer.
I had a couple spicy takes lately.
Rabble rousing.
That's right. Got to stir the pot every once in a while. I had a take about the Summerfest, which kicked off last night in Milwaukee. I love Summerfest. Absolutely love Summerfest. I will be going multiple days. I will be having a good time. I think it is still somehow underrated. As an event and festival, I wrote a column at Milwaukee Magazine about a decade ago called In Defense of Summerfest, when people were being especially critical of it for random reasons.
Right.
Having said all of that, the 3-day weekend format is a crime against Milwaukee, and I hate it.
You know what? As someone who doesn't go to Summerfest really at all anymore, I appreciate what it is, and I appreciate what I like about it is what you love about it.
Yeah.
And I think the criticisms from maybe 10 years ago was maybe the bands weren't as topical as they used to. It used to be a lot of cover bands, a lot of bands that appealed to people like
an
40
older and older.
Yeah.
Right.
But they have really done a great job of getting fresh new bands in there, especially on the free stage, the free quote unquote you pay to get in. But those stages have, I mean, Lizzo played there 1 year. That's a big get.
That's huge.
But yeah, I agree. Because I would go to Summerfest if it was
still during
11
the week.
Days.
Right.
And still during the week.
Yeah. The 3-day thing is just, I'm getting like nervous thinking about walking into Summerfest on a Saturday when there are hundreds of thousands of people there. It's just too much happening. Whereas a Sunday morning when they first open, or on a Thursday or a Wednesday, it's calm, it's fun. And then you don't have to stay all day either. It's
go for lunch.
Yes, exactly. Right.
855-752-4842. The new Summerfest, now the way that we do it is three weekends in a row. The old Summerfest was 11 days in a row.
Right.
Should we go back to the old way?
We got to go back to the old way.
855-752-4842. Weigh in on this audio sorbet.
Okay, so one of the reasons I think is because I think this is bad for Milwaukee. Because I think if you have Summerfest taking up three of your summer weekends,
bad for other businesses, that's for sure.
It creates all of it, means that all of the other street festivals, ethnic festivals, other stuff that's happening throughout the city has to avoid Summerfest. Yep. So you have to, like, last weekend was an especially busy one in the city of Milwaukee. There was Polish Fest at the Summerfest grounds. There was Lakefront Festival of the Art at the Art Museum. There was Summer Solstice on the east side. And all of those events had to pack into one day because they didn't want to go up against Summerfest. And Summerfest takes up three weekends. Like, we only have so many summer weekends in Milwaukee. We always go all out. We love our summers in Milwaukee. But to have three consecutive weekends taken up by Summerfest is a lot to contend with for some of these, you know, non-Summerfest festivals.
The tap would close for two weekends during that time because we can't compete.
Well, you can't compete.
No one would come out. And we didn't honestly want to run a place that was four people. It just didn't make sense.
Well, it's not worth it. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer causing problems again. Should Summerfest go back to its original format of 11 days in a row as opposed to the new lineup, which is three weekends in a row? 855-752-4842. Couple things. I understand what you're saying about Summerfest still not being given enough credit, I guess, for the what a massive music festival it is.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't want more people coming.
You want fewer.
We don't need more people.
See, I don't think you and the Summerfest CEO are going to agree on that.
Probably not. But I remember back in the day when I was working Summerfest every day after doing a show, and the whole goal was we need a million people. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. We want a million people through the gates. Yeah. Then it takes you an hour to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you could tell on those nights, those big attendance evenings, it was uncomfortable and it wasn't fun.
And if it's really hot,
it's even worse.
Or if it rains, like, there's always these elements. Scott in Shorewood listening, who actually provided to us our Jabba the Musk. He's the one who made it.
Yeah, Scott did. Yeah.
He said to you, Dan, stop it. It's one weekend extra.
But then Penny says, go back to 10 days in a row. I stopped going because I don't want to deal with big crowds.
That's how I kind of feel as well.
I think you also have, you know, it ignores certain, it makes it harder for certain people to go. Like, if you work in the service industry, if you're waiting tables, you're working the bar or something like that, you're working every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then you can't really go to Summerfest. I think that makes it really hard too for, like, you know, if people are just like, you know, you take off of school, you take off for the 4th of July, you take a long weekend, you spend a couple extra days at Summerfest because you know you can, hey, I'm going to go there on Wednesday or whatever it might be.
Right.
I think that's another problem with it. I think one of the things that they have done really well, though, is start scheduling different acts earlier in the day. And like last year, me, aging dad, I went to see like one of my favorite indie rock bands, The Hold Steady, and they were playing at 5. They were playing at 5, which is perfect. I'm going to go at 5. I'm going to have a couple drinks. I'm going to be done. I'll be home by 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about the appreciation of your band going on at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You're like, it's amazing. And now I have two questions. One, because I don't know, because I don't go to Summerfest, and I apologize, everybody. But Summerfest now is Thursday through Saturday or through Sunday as well?
It's through Sunday.
No, it's not through Sunday.
Oh, it's only through Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That is insanity to me. That it would be, they would, to me personally, Sunday would be a big day, especially for families. You get in the car, come down to Summerfest.
But do kids really belong at Summerfest?
I think
during the day.
I think during the day, afternoon. Yes. I think
by 5 o'clock they have to leave.
Well, even by five, but honestly, at 5 o'clock,
bar time for 10-year-olds is 5 o'clock.
Scooters out. at 5.
I would actually propose at 5 o'clock they're closed, because you don't, if they're going to be closed on Sundays, period, and lose out on possible revenue and people coming, then why not open Sunday fun day family days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's it. And you still have bands. You can have more kid friendly bands playing. You can have kid friendly bands playing on the big stages too.
Marketing. Great. There you go. Summerfest.
At the very, and that's the other thing too, is when you don't have it on Sunday, some of these service industry people are off on Sundays and Mondays,
mm-hmm.
and they're just completely out of luck here. So it just doesn't seem. And also the other question I have is, it never was every day in a row, right? Because it was always closed on the 4th of July, or was it open?
So usually they would close on the Monday. There was like a Monday that they would close, and they would clean up the festival and reset and whatever. Yeah. And then you'd still have like Tuesday through the following Sunday.
Right. 855-752-4842. Today's audio survey question. Summerfest, should it go back to the original 11 days in a row, or should we continue with the 3 weekends in a row? 855-752-4842. Kimberly from Wauwatosa says, 11 days, please. Big event that everyone knows from all over the state. Now it's 3 weekends and no longer one big festival. One fee for all 3 days. Music is free like Gretna Fest. But go back to 11 days from Kimberly. Schools and nonprofits typically took part during the weekend on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Jake on the live stream says, how about 2 long weekends for Summerfest, Thursday through Sunday, both times, and have days on July 3rd and 4th when they fall early in the week? They haven't in recent years. Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. I mean, this all comes from COVID. This all comes from the lockdown. Yeah. And I believe it was canceled in 2020 because of COVID.
It was delayed and then canceled, yeah.
Delaying, and then the next year, they did it later in the year.
Yeah.
Yes. In 2021, like September. Why not make Summerfest then a festival that happens at the end of summer after all the other festivals happen? People are still going to come out. Is there a law that says it has to be in June? There's no, it's just been what they've done. And we can see now that Summerfest people can rethink the way they exist.
Is possible
with the Milwaukee Comedy Festival this October. We always had the festival in August. And then because of COVID, we're like, what are we going to do? We can't do a festival in August in 2020. Can we do something smaller? Let's try October. And then we kept it in October. It was perfect because we weren't up against festivals. We weren't up against summer. I just think that there are ways of finding compromise and new ways. But this 3 weekend thing is just so, especially with no Sundays, that just makes no sense.
Too scattered.
Yes.
Too broken up. 855-752-4842. Summerfest, should we go back to its original iteration of 11 days in a row or continue with the new one with 3 weekends in a row? Richard from Waukesha is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Richard.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Here.
I think they need to go back to something like 11, but maybe they could have a break, a day or two in the middle to restart, or just some kind of change, but to go back to more days, you know, in a row somehow.
Appreciate it, Richard. So 11 days, and then again, take that Monday.
Yeah, if you do Monday or Tuesday off or something like that.
Would be fine.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
I would almost go back to the 11 days. I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I've won you over, Jane.
Well, because again, as a person of a different, older age, I would go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and meet a friend for lunch and then maybe hang out for a couple of hours and listen to some of the afternoon bands and stuff. That appeals to me. But I'm like a Penny who said, I don't want to go in on a Saturday with 200,000 people there. That just does not sound like fun.
Yeah. Do you go to State Fair?
Yes.
See, State Fair is continuous.
Yeah.
Right. And State Fair keeps getting better. Like, I feel like the State Fair numbers keep going up and up and up. Like, they get more than 1 million people at State Fair every year. And so how are you not seeing that this is an event for people to, like, you know, spend some extra time there, take some time off of work and take your family or whatever it might be. Like, it seems to be working fine for State Fair. I guess it's, I don't know. I think Summerfest is trying a little bit too hard to be like a Lollapalooza or a Coachella like play in that same type of sandbox.
We don't want
to
be.
And I just don't think, and I don't think that's really.
Don't palooza. Don't palooza.
Well, that's the name of today's episode. We don't want a palooza.
Don't palooza Summerfest. No, that's a bad idea.
Oh my God. That's
listen to Jane. Jane knows what's up.
That's a really good way of looking at it too. And you can push it as like a, hey, you know how you're paying $300 for Lollapalooza? You can come to ours for like $50 total with all the tickets and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Summerfest, Greg Bach's available. If you're looking for a new marketing guy, he might be the one. Dan Schaefer Civic Media's political editor, author, and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It is absolutely worth it. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Well, always one. Wonderful to join you.
When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'll be checking out Early Edition. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometown.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you still have a couple of minutes to grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, select your station and text in the word BREW, B-R-E-W, text in the word BREW. It is our Free Ticket Friday's contest going on all day today. Your chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are good seats.
Yes.
So text in the word BREW until 11 o'clock, B-R-E-W, via the Civic Media app. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you after 11 o'clock. Todd all by then from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Friday's. Today, the word is BREW, B-R-E-W, until 11 o'clock. Spelling counts.
Spelling does count, so B-R-E-W.
Keep that in mind.
Love seeing those misspellings come through.
Absolutely. So much fun. Coming up on Monday, really looking forward to this. Charlie Pittman is our new news director here at Civic Media. She's been with us not quite a month.
Yep.
And so we're going to have Charlie in for a regular segment now on Mondays, where she is going to give us a little heads up about what our great news department here at Civic Media is working on.
And things we may have missed over the weekend, because, you know, no news happens on Friday to Sunday.
Nothing ever happens over the weekend.
Oh.
So Charlie will be here on Monday at 9:35, right after the 9:30 news. And then a longtime friend of the show, and it's been a while since we've had the bug guy on.
Yeah.
PJ Leash from UW-Madison, entomologist, is going to join us on Monday after the 10 o'clock news to talk about ticks.
Yeah.
They're worse than ever, apparently. Oh, joy.
Great.
I know. But PJ's always great, and we'll find out what other creepy crawlies we have to be concerned about with going on over the summer.
Yeah.
So I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. If you ever miss anything, you can always go to our website at civicmedia.us. Go to the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt and Air on Air, and we have about 100 past episodes on the website.
You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, find our show, subscribe, and it'll be automatically downloaded into your device every day. 2 episodes a day, 3 if you subscribe to This Shouldn't Be a Thing as a podcast as well, which you should. And then if you feel like it and we've deserved it, give us a 5-star review, because that helps with visibility, it helps with ratings, and it just helps get the word out to who we are and what we do on the show.
Absolutely. Speaking of Tisbet 1055, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Mirror, that bastion of journalistic excellence from across the pond.
So many Pulitzers.
So many Pulitzers. The headline reads, British Airways crew mistakenly booked into sex dungeon as they spot grim detail in room. Members of a British Airways cabin crew found themselves in a mortifying situation after being accidentally checked into a sex hotel.
That sounds like a sex hotel.
Complete with an anatomically detailed bathtub.
What is that? Wait a minute.
We'll get there. While in the Italian city of Milan, it had decided that this British Airways crew would spend the night at Motel Mo.om. This is a modern hotel with good transportation links. Unfortunately, whoever booked it, the team found themselves bedding down for the night at a similarly named Mo.om hotel. The names are so close, but there's a big difference. It soon became clear to the crew this was no ordinary hotel, as they took in the bondage-themed beds and anatomically shaped spa tub. And if those features didn't make the point.
Oh, gotcha.
The incessant moaning and groaning from their fellow patrons must have cut through the walls. A source.
Jane's so uncomfortable reading this.
A source told the Mirror, crews were booked into a pay-by-the-hour sex hotel, confronted with bondage sets, mirrored ceilings, dog cages, and leather harnesses. It was obvious this was not the intended hotel. Although there were some humorous elements to the mishap, the sleeping situation less than ideal for the staff. As the source explained, this was a comical mistake by the hotel booking team, but had serious implications. Some of the team members who slept in the sex dungeon didn't get any sleep, so they couldn't actually fly the next day.
Sex Dungeon. You know there was one person in that group who was like, oh, we're checking out?
Oh,
I don't know. This looks, I'm looks cool to me.
I'm just getting wrong. They were kept awake by thrill seekers moaning and groaning all day and all night. A British Airways spokesperson says a small number of crew were moved to unapproved hotel rooms after availability issues with our usual accommodations. This happened without our knowledge. We're investigating to make sure this never happens again.
And then they put us in a comfort suite. So gross.
What a letdown.
Two star.
What a letdown after the Mo Hotel.
Sex Hotel!
That's a song waiting to be written.
Oh, I'm writing that this weekend.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, and Pete Schwabe. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you on Monday.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's foreign minister says there's no room for talking until Israel halts its attacks on his country. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer says he's in Geneva speaking with European diplomats.
If they engage and these talks don't end with all parties leaving and going home with nothing to discuss further, then at least we will be a few steps ahead.
The Supreme Court reviving lawsuits against Palestinians from Americans killed or wounded in terror attacks. Legal analyst Lori Levin.
This decision will make it easier for victims' families to bring the lawsuits under this act.
In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, among the many spots in the nation's midsection feeling the heat, Millie Ennis is a camp counselor.
It is really hot. Try to make the most of it, like try to make all the kids happy and just remember to keep them all hydrated because we don't want them to get super crabby and we just want them to have fun at camp even though it's super hot out.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.